It is time for Wildcat Insider. John Kurtz with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Today on the show, talk plenty of hoops. It was a tough week last week for the K-State men. Wildcat women get one of two. Big night for Kindred Wiesman. Should say big day for Kindred Wiesman on Saturday. We will discuss that. Also, football recruiting with National Signing Day coming up on Wednesday. In the 5 o'clock hour at 5:10, you'll hear from ESPN's Jeremy Crabtree on K-State's class and what you might expect in the next 48 hours before National Signing Day for the Wildcats. As always, you can chime in on Twitter at TheGameKMAN or give us a phone call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Toll free if you do want to join the show. It's kind of been riding a roller coaster here, Wyatt, with the men's basketball team over the last 3 weeks. Lose a couple games, feel pretty low. They win two games against Oklahoma State and West Virginia, get you back on a high. And then last week, two road games that unfortunately took on a pretty similar sort of story in each, falling behind big in the first half.
Well, and not able to overcome in either game. They were different types of games, but at the end of the day, you described it well, just too big a hole that you couldn't overcome. For me, Saturday's game really, honestly, all came down to Tennessee's good start, K-State's poor start, and then the rebounding. K-State, I mean, you can't mask this or whatever. They just got clubbed on the glass. They just did. Tennessee had 16 offensive rebounds. They won on the boards 43-29. And I understand K-State has some issues and what have you, and they're not the world's best rebounding team at times. But it's got to be a little bit closer than that to give yourself a chance. And for me, those 43 rebounds, 16 of which were offensive. That leads to a 23-6 advantage in second chance points. And there you go. That's just too much.
And that was an area where you thought K-State would have an advantage going into the game. Tennessee doesn't have a whole lot of size. I mean, in their starting lineup, Kyle Alexander is 6'10", but he was averaging just 4 points, four rebounds a game. And it's one of the first things out of Bruce Weber's mouth afterwards in sort of frustration on the radio postgame was, this is a guy that doesn't do a whole lot, and he came in and did against us. And K-State sort of let Tennessee set the tone early on the glass. They got out-rebounded 6-0 by the first media timeout. So from there on, that kind of, like I said, set the tone for what the game was going to be.
And it certainly, with the rebounding, wasn't the only thing that was problematic in the first half. K-State didn't shoot it well. They didn't run good offense, from my perspective at least. I think they settled for jump shots way too much, which was somewhat similar to what they did in the first half in Ames. But in Ames, they really had some fight to get back into the game. I thought early in the second half, Barry Brown, as an example, hit back-to-back threes, and you think, okay, here they come a little bit. But they just couldn't, you know, they get it down to close to maybe a 10-point game. Maybe a 9-point game, I can't remember exactly, but it didn't take long to pump it back up to 14, 15 points. And at that point, you just had this sinking feeling that this is going to be the way the rest of this 20 minutes plays out, and it really was.
And you're really just playing with fire when you're falling behind by 17 in the first half, which they were down 17 at halftime in both games. You can, I think, figure out a way to come back from some of those like they did against Iowa State, but you can't expect to do that on a consistent basis.
No, you can't. And you know, at the end of the day, let's go back to what you first talked about, and that's you have not a good week and then a really, really good week and then not a great week. Will this be a good week to even it out? I don't think we know that. There are some questions, you know, in terms of the health of the team, and I don't want to make TCU to be out more than they are, but this is a better basketball team than they have been in a while, in a long time. And then, of course, you've got the stretch here where you've got three games in basically a six-day span with the Wednesday game at home, at Baylor Saturday, turnaround with Big Monday with Kansas a week from tonight. So this is an awfully, goes without saying, I guess, but an awfully big stretch.
It is, and you know the other thing is after TCU, the three-game stretch that you have after that is at Baylor, Kansas at home, at West Virginia.
Right, pretty tough.
It's about as difficult as it gets if you're trying to make your way through the Big 12 right now, so I think that puts a lot of pressure, importance, whatever you want to say on Wednesday's game?
Probably all of the above, because I don't know how you feel about it, but I think you're talking about the three best teams in the league in that particular stretch. I know Iowa State's kind of right there and what have you, but you know, for me, trying to look at it in a positive light, you know, you look at some of the – not that this is the end-all necessarily, but, you know, K-State's still kind of right there, you know, on the cut line, if you will, if you're looking at a Jerry Palm, if you're looking at Joe Lenardi. Lenardi's got K-State in today. Palm, one of the last four out. But it tells you that even through all of the issues that they're right there. And I looked at it this way. Tell me what you think of this. And I understand this stretch will be hard, but if K-State can win the game Wednesday, okay, you finish the first half of conference play at 5-4. If you can match that in the second half, you're probably in.
You're definitely in. Yeah. I think if you match
you
that.
Go 10-8, you're in. And I think that's the way you got to look at it. Maybe some people don't see it the same way. But that's kind of what's been in my mind here, you know, thinking about it the last couple of days and, you know, preparing for the next game and games and what have you. And I think they do have a chance to, you know, they're home Wednesday night against TCU. It's a winnable game. You got to go do it. But you go 5-4 in the first half. There's no reason why, from my perspective at least, that you can't think that maybe you can match that. Here's the tough part of that, though. It isn't just the stretch where you have Baylor in Waco, Kansas at home and at West Virginia. You still have to go to Texas. You still have to go to Oklahoma. Those are winnable games, but you got to go win them. Those will be the telling things as to whether you can be, you know, a 5-4 team in that second half. We'll see.
And the road struggles, I mean, have been an issue. I don't think that's, you know, any secret. Bruce Weber's 8-30 since his first year on the road in true road games. So there have been some problems with K-State as far as that's concerned. So I'm with you. I mean, those look like they're winnable, but you do have to go grab them, and that's going to be a big part of what happens down the stretch here because, you know, some of the home games like playing Kansas at home, that's not going to be easy. So I don't know that you automatically chalk that one up as a win. You may have to make that up on the road somewhere as you come down the home stretch.
Well, that's perfectly said. And then, you know, think about this. If they get the game Wednesday night, that 5-4 stretch also meant losing a home game in the first half. So I don't know if you have to go beat Kansas Monday night. It would sure be nice. We'd all love it, right? We would certainly prefer it. But, I mean, if you lost that one and you won in Waco or you won in Morgantown or you won wherever, I guess, you know, it kind of that's the point. Over the course of 18 games, at the end of the day, you got to pretty much take care of business at home. And K-State, to this point, pretty much has done that. But you got to be better on the road.
You just
have to be better on the road.
You just hope that the team is able to rebound, I guess, mentally from what happened, because it did seem like there was some real frustration after the game. I mean, Wesley Iwundu had the quote that's been put up everywhere with everybody's articles and everything after the game, that we should feel disgusted with ourselves after we look at how that game, you know, transpired against Tennessee, and to do it in back-to-back games. I guess you do just somewhat wonder where the team's head is at.
And I don't think it was just Wes, but I understand the thought. I'll just speak for myself here. I thought I saw the same type of frustration in the eyes of a Kamau Stokes, DJ Johnson. I mean, losing hurts, you know. It's hard. And I think some of the guys, and especially in this case, the older, more veteran guys, you know, I think they've been through this before, and you know, their time is somewhat limited. They want to, you know, get the corner turned here, and being on the road, you have to do a lot of things well to put yourself in a position to win. And Saturday, frankly, they didn't do that.
I guess that's part of the frustration probably, is that you thought maybe last week was getting the corner turned by winning on the road at Oklahoma State, a win that is looking better and better as the Cowboys start to play better.
Yeah.
And then beating West Virginia, one of the top three teams in the league at home, you had hoped, all right, now they're back on track, and now you're left somewhat wondering once again.
Yeah. Here's the way I would probably maybe go about this, and this will sound very cliche-ish, and I apologize ahead of time for it, but you can't go get something going in terms of a streak without winning Wednesday night. It's imperative that they win that ballgame, I think. It's a game where K-State's 15-6, TCU is 14-7. If you look at their results, much like K-State, they have played a lot of close games. There's not a lot of separation. You know what I mean? They've been pretty good at home, not quite as good on the road. I'm not comparing them necessarily, and yet I kind of am too, you know. You look at the standings in our conference right now, and K-State's you got Baylor and Kansas at 7-1, West Virginia and Iowa State are 5-3, then K-State is 4-4, and then you've got 2, 3, and 5 teams in Tech and TCU. You've got to keep yourself separated from them, from my perspective. If the ultimate goal is to finish in that upper third or whatever and be a tournament team. And I certainly believe, without question, that that's the goal of this group.
Yeah, you know, you lose to TCU, all of a sudden they're 4-5, you're 4-5, you come to a dead even spot in the league race. So I think that does help put it in perspective. And like you said, they've struggled on the road. They're a team that's trending downward right now.
They've lost four straight.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why you need to go get this game.
And I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised, not shocked, but a little bit surprised that, you know, they didn't beat Auburn. I thought they had a chance. And it was an 8-point game. It was 88-80, so they were in it. It wasn't like they got clubbed or whatever. But this team is better, and they have more pieces than they've had recently. So it isn't like the old TCU that shows up and, you know, snap your fingers and, you know, win number 5 in the league and you move on. You've got to execute and you've got to play against these guys because they're definitely better.
But much better than those Kian Anderson and just a bunch of other guys teams that were rolling in there for TCU for a while there.
Yeah. Well, and they have more coming. Jamie's done a really nice job there this year. They've got some pretty good-looking recruits coming. They don't lose a whole lot. You can understand why they're excited.
At 5:10 today, hear from Jeremy Crabtree on K-State football's recruiting class. And speaking of that, coming up, I'll give you a little bit of update on K-State recruiting. There was some news about that today and over the weekend. Plus, Jordan Willis, if you didn't see it over the weekend, had himself a very nice Senior Bowl. You're listening to Wildcat Insider.
You're listening to Wildcat Insider.
Hey, did you hear who's delivering?
Not another pizza place.
No.
Ooh, cupcake delivery?
No.